It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
They're looking for a point guard who's logged a lot of games in the NBA, who is going to run an offense that they trust when Jalen Brunson's on the bench and or if he gets hurt.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In a texter ask, hey, Casario's superstition is exercising before the game. Do you guys have any superstitions before the game? I actually do. And it doesn't involve exercise. Before every home game, I go to Avalon Diner for breakfast. Yeah. I get a veggie omelet with fruit instead of hash browns, white toast and bacon, not crispy, chewy bacon, coffee and water. I get ready for the pregame show. I drive to the stadium. I play the same playlist. I've got like two or three WWE themes. And then as I'm arriving at the stadium, I'm playing Boys of Fall by Kenny Chesney, big football song. Mm-hmm. Park in the same spot every time in the teal lot. And then I walk into the stadium. I stop and I see John Harris before going out to the stage to do the pregame show with you. I always stop and see John Harris because, A, he's my friend. And B, he's always got a few nuggets. You know,
that's true. Yeah,
you chit chat with Johnny for 10 minutes, you get educated on the sport.
I wouldn't classify any of those as superstitions. I think that's more of a routine that you're in, and you like having that routine because
it's the worst. Well, actually, I've ever heard.
No, it's not. No, if anything, I'm giving you a compliment because you understand the importance of routine at times, especially when it gets you in the right mindset. It reduces, you don't have to think about all those other decisions that you might otherwise have to make. Where am I going to eat before the game? What am I going to do? How am I going to get all that? That's more routine. I had this conversation with Chris Palmer, who is the offensive coordinator for the Texans early on. I remember sitting with him just chatting about somebody asked a question about superstition. He, me, and another player were waiting to go into a team meeting. And I told, I was like, I don't think I'm superstitious, but I do like to do this a certain way every time. And he's like, no, you like routine. That's what, which is good because you know how to get yourself ready in a certain way. And the one superstition I had was, for whatever reason, one road trip, I had forgotten my toothbrush, so I had to use a hotel toothbrush.
Yeah,
and I had a good game the next day. This would definitely be a superstition.
Okay.
Yeah. So from that point forward, I always used a hotel toothbrush. But I also carried an extra hotel toothbrush just in case the hotel was out of toothbrushes.
Well, you know, when you were in Tennessee and Indianapolis, they didn't have toothbrushes in the hotel because they don't have any teeth in that state.
That's where they were named a toothbrush because there it's one tooth. Yeah, it's not a teethbrush.
Exactly.
It's a toothbrush because it was invented in Tennessee.
Okay.
No, so I would... Listen, I had NFL money back then, so I could afford a spare hotel toothbrush.
Right.
It was a spindly little mess where 18 of the bristles.
Times are tougher now that you're in radio.
So that was a superstition.
Okay, so mine is more of a routine, but I do feel when I break the routine.
Yeah.
And the Texans lose, I feel partially responsible for that.
Okay, that's a superstition.
Yeah.
If you think your routine has an effect on the team outcome, okay, that is a superstition.
And it's dumb. Right, it's
Sean.
Really stupid.
You know,
yeah.
Sean, I was looking at it through my own filter. I thought you were concerned about, you know, putting on a good show and holding yourself to a high standard so you had a routine. I didn't realize that it was unselfishly about the outcome of the team.
No, it's the outcome of the team. The good show is a mere byproduct of the superstition that I have. Yeah.
Okay, it's all a superstition.
Yeah. I enjoy it because I love going to breakfast before games.
Do you have any other superstitions like while watching a game or anything on television that you have to open your beer a certain way or anything?
No,
like that?
Nothing like that. Although I sit in the same chair. Like Amy has to, she's sitting in my chair when a game is on. She has to get out of that chair. I sit in the same chair every game. That's the closest
thing. That's more of a comfort level.
That's the closest thing. Yeah, you're probably right.
Well, it's like in Silver Linings Playbook. Is that the name of the movie, the Bradley Cooper one? The Robert De Niro is very superstitious about the Eagles.
Yeah.
Like everything has to be just right, and he very much believes in it. Which is weird for because he's also a bookie in that, which I feel like a bookie should not be. I feel like, he's an amateur bookie.
Okay.
I feel like you should have a better understanding of probability and everything than that. But, yeah, that's where he was with it.
Nut and Clear Lake said, did you just say chewy bacon? I don't mean, like, raw bacon out of the fridge. I mean, I don't like it, like, crunchy. You know, I like it to have a little bit of chew to it.
Can you order your bacon a specific way?
At Avalon Diner, yeah, you can. Order
it.
Yeah.
You can order it crispy. I guess, yeah. I've never... I'm always worried about bacon being undercooked, so I would never... but I also don't like it extra crispy, so I just take it as it comes.
Yeah,
I would never say chewy bacon, because there's... I don't know.
They know what I mean there. They know what I mean there. Like they recite my order to me at this point. They know exactly what I want when I'm coming in on Sunday morning. You know,
you're like the norm of the Avalon Diner.
100%. Yes. Yep. Know them all. All right. D'Amico Ryans, moving on from week one. We are. That's what he said yesterday. And all you alarmists who want to fire everybody.
That's the nature of our business, right? That's, man, you lose, fire everybody, trade every player, right? You win, going to the Super Bowl. Like, then the next week, everything, I get it. Like, that's the nature of our business. It's exciting because you have so many different outlets, so many different people have an opinion. So many people love football. So I love the passion. I love the energy that comes with this, right? It's fun, man. We really enjoy this, and we understand the seriousness of it as well, right? But to that point, the realistic point, it's one game. It's week one. The building isn't burning down. It's week one. We go back and we fix what we need to fix, come out and do the things that we can control. That's the main emphasis for this week. How can we just control the controllables and press forward? And now when you have a chance to truly compete, now let's see what happens.
Okay, when it comes to fire everybody, you know, like obviously D'Amico's exaggerating to a certain degree. I think you and I are going to have the same answer. When it comes to people that DM'd you or tweeted at you or were on the text line or people that you just heard shouting it on the street, which player was most universally yelled about in terms of why is this guy still on the team? Or why is this experiment still going on?
With this version of the Texans?
Yeah, after the game.
I would say, boy, why is this guy still on the team? Damian Pierce.
Yes, yeah, Damian
Pierce.
Exactly. Yep. That was my first thought.
There
is a part with Damian where, dropping that screen. I just don't. At some point, someday, I don't know how long they're willing to play it out with Damian Pierce, and maybe I'm proven wrong on this. Eventually, I was surprised that he wasn't traded away last year during training camp. I was willing to see that, okay, maybe they really did feel like the scheme was part of the issue and they got to figure out how to make it work with them. But it's just, it's a couple of big runs here and there, which have been nice. But so far after one game, that one got on my nerves a little bit.
Yeah.
And you're in this situation where, yes, Joe Mixon is down. Nick Chubb is looking like he's pretty good. But I'm not super enthusiastic about it.
Okay, you should be happy about this, and we'll get to Tampa Bay in just a second, what D'Amico had to say about the Bucs. But on Texans All Access last night, Seth, or it might have been two nights ago, the YouTube I saw yesterday with Mark and John talking to D'Amico, he alluded to perhaps doing something that you were, I think, kind of almost requesting after the game on Sunday.
Chubb ran the ball really well. We tried to mix it up with the backs. Got Woody some touches. Damian, we're going to try to lean in with Chubb a little bit more. I think he deserves it. He's shown that he continued to get better as the game went on. You saw him running stronger, finishing plays in a physical manner. So we got to get him going a little bit more, right? And I think he can really help us. CJ did a nice job helping that rushing average by scrambling a little bit. Yeah. Such a nice drive there before the 2 minute. I mean, during the 2 minute at half, he did a really nice job scrambling to put himself in position to get points there. So I think offensive line, just stay after it with our double teams, being a hat on a hat, that won't change. We're always want to get a hat on a hat in the run game and really emphasize our wide receivers getting in, blocking the support players, and that'll help our run game continue to thrive.
Okay, everybody's got a block. We know that. More Nick Chubb at the beginning.
More Nick Chubb. You're right. And I didn't know if I wish what he would have said was we have to be really careful with him because, you know, he's still coming back. You know, he's not off of that devastating knee injury from 2 years ago. Even though he played last year, that's a 2 year recovery on that thing. There's a part of me that I get it. You want to, you know, try a bunch of different guys out. But again, I turn into the grumpy old man of like, what was the preseason for?
Right.
Why? You get two series with your starters in the preseason. And you know what? You only get 17 regular season games.
Yeah.
And we're going out and we're testing and probing and seeing what we feel good about in week one. While going up against a really good defense. Okay, fine. You ran your little experiment. Now, yes, focus on your strengths. And Nick Chubb, out of all those running backs, I know Gumba Wale has always been, I like a Gumba Wale in his role, but not at the expense of Nick Chubb carries at the end of the game.
Yeah, I would submit, Seth, you know, one of the inactives on Sunday was British Brooks. Yeah. I would have British Brooks active ahead of Damian Pierce right now. You know, without question. British Brooks did some good things in the preseason. You know,
I think
he always seems to make things happen when he's out there.
It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
I want players who want to play. I don't want players who are oft injured. I want players who give a crap. And I really feel like, you know, since, Thibodeau got here and Leon Rose got here, and I guess you could say World Wide West, that they've tried to bring in players who kind of mirrored that kind of thinking.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Damian letting the ball roll into the end zone, which becomes a touchback at the 20 instead of the 35.
Yeah.
And then just not doing anything as a runner, but then also dropping that very, very, very catchable hat pass that hit him right in the hands on the key drive there. There's a part of Damian where it's turning into like this is Jose Altuve's base running, except without the Hall of Fame career behind
yeah,
it. And I don't have an appetite for it right now.
Nope. Here was D'Amico Ryans talking about moving on from week one. We'll do that. We'll look ahead to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Here's D'Amico on Baker Mayfield and the Bucs offense.
The Bucs, one thing I'll say about the Bucs is starting off watching the tape, man. Baker Mayfield he's playing the best he's played in his career. Todd has done a really nice job of working with Baker and the passing game. They were first in the league in passing last year, or they were top five in pretty much all the major offensive categories last year. And it shows they have weapons at receiver. Mike Evans has done it for a long time, continues to shine. The young kid, Igbuka, has done a really nice job making some explosive plays. He showed up big time for them in their game versus Atlanta. And Baker, he does a really nice job of just moving around, scrambling in the pocket, keeping plays alive. You see toughness, you see grittiness from Baker, which allows their passing game to thrive.
So Igbuka, it was a huge role in that game late. I think it was Mike Evans was saying that he wished they'd been mic'd up in the huddle because Igbuka basically was
calling a shot,
requesting a post.
Yep.
And I think it was Mike Evans was saying like, you got this rookie in here, never played before, and he's calling a shot and demanding that they throw him the post. But Igbuka was one of the guys who was still on the board when the Texans started trying to trade up. Right? Yeah. Or had he gone already?
He went before the Texans pick. The Tampa was picking.
No. I know he went before the Texans pick, but Caserio said right around the mid to late teens, he started trying. They were trying to trade up.
He went 19th to Tampa.
Yeah, he was one of the guys that was still on the board.
Yep.
Because there were a few guys that when the Texans are sitting at 25, and Nick said, I think he said around pick 16 or 17, that's when they started calling around about moving up.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, Gray Zabel, the guard, was still on the board. Igbuka was still on the board.
Donovan Jackson was still on
Matthew
the board.
Matthew Golden was still on the board. Donovan Jackson, you know, like the receivers and the offensive linemen that were very interesting were still on the board. So this will be the first time the Texans see one of those guys where you see a little bit of like, what might have been.
What might have been. I guess Donovan Jackson had a really good game on Monday night. I wasn't watching him closely on Monday night. I watched the whole game. But I wasn't watching Donovan Jackson closely, but I guess he had a really good debut with the Minnesota Vikings. Shout out to Episcopal High School and Coach Lease, Donovan Jackson, a proud alum of Episcopal here in Houston.
He was the one that people are down on because he's slew-footed. Sean, do you know what slew-footed means?
I don't.
I didn't either until I saw it. And frankly, it sounded like some kind of ethnic slur that my grandpa would have said about an Irishman back in the day.
I'm a little nervous that you said it on this show,
I know.
If we're being honest.
It means duck-footed.
Okay.
And I'm like, especially for linemen, interior linemen, offensive or defensive, being duck-footed can actually be a strength. That's a powerful position you're in. You know who else is duck-footed?
Who?
LeBron James. He's done all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. CJ Stroud, a little bit duck-footed.
He's definitely a little bit duck-footed. I would imagine duck-footed, like the angle that your feet are at help you get a nice solid base.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. So I always felt like if it's a defensive tackle or an interior offensive lineman is duck-footed, that's a potentially really powerful dude.
Yeah. Not to get too deep into the physics of it, but that feels like you get a nice, a nice base there.
Yeah, slew-footed. I did the same thing. I saw that, and I'm like, slew-footed?
I would have guessed some version of duck-footed or pigeon-toed or whatever, but yeah.
Yeah, slew-footed. I thought it was like, again, I thought it was something like, you know, no slew-footed need apply or something from back in the day. Yeah.
Okay, if we're prisoners of the moment right now with the Astros and the Texans, I will tell you who the big winner might be in all this, and how do we feel about a Houston legend helping an adversary? We'll talk about that coming up next. But I want to mention that the Football Talk on Sports Radio 610 is presented by Paramount Plus. Sylvester Stallone is back in the original hit series Tulsa King. I love Tulsa King. This season, Dwight faces his most dangerous adversaries yet, forcing him to fight for everything he's built and protect his empire. Stream the new season of Tulsa King on Sunday, September 21st, exclusively on Paramount Plus.
It's Boomer and Geo, mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
They're looking for a point guard who's logged a lot of games in the NBA, who is going to run an offense that they trust when Jalen Brunson's on the bench and or if he gets hurt.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.